sing a shout. Open up our hearts and pour your praises out. Okay. What could be better than grace that washes all the shame away? What could be better than your praise?
Really supernatural, and I'm really obedient. Okay. Father, but the word today is for everyone. I'm just using an example that's in the Bible of a mother and a grandmother. But before we get to all that, and so I can get kind of the shakies out of me, I've got a couple funny things I want to share with you that I came across as I was preparing this. Elementary school students were asked several questions about moms. And here are some of the questions. And I chose the funniest answer out of the list that I had because it was really funny. It was hard. Why did God make mothers? To help us get out of there when we were getting born. Duh. Well, how did God make mothers? He used dirt just like for the rest of us. Well, they were listening in that story, weren't they? Okay, well, what ingredients are mothers made of? Okay, moms, listen carefully. God makes mothers out of clouds and angel hair and everything nice in the world and one dab of mean. Okay, so you got a dab of mean in you. And my last question that I chose is, why did God give you your mother and not some other mom? And the kid's response was, God knew she likes me a lot more than other people's moms like me. Right? Hallelujah. And another cute story. I have to share them both because I couldn't choose between the two. But it was Mother's Day. And a four-year-old and a six-year-old presented their mom with a houseplant. They had used their own money, and she was just thrilled. The older of them said with a sad face, there was a bouquet there that we wanted to give you at the flower shop. It was real pretty, but it was too expensive. It had a ribbon on it that said, rest in peace. And we thought it would be just perfect since you are always asking for a little peace so that you can rest. Can any of you relate? Happy Mother's Day, every mother, grandmother, mothers-to-be. If you're not a mother yet, young adults, singles, single teenagers, you will be one day. Happy Mother's Day. Depending on our experiences in life, Mother's Day can bring a variety of emotions. God knows what you are experiencing and what you have experienced, both your losses and your joys. He sees us where we are and reaches out to each of us. One thing we have in common is that we all have a mother, and God used them as a beginning for our life on earth. They helped bring us into this world. Some of us may be very close to our mother, or we may not have the best relationship with our mom. For others, your mother may have already passed, and today you honor her memory. Some of you are blessed We're blessed to have or have had a Christian mother who guided you into a Christian life. For others, that may not be the case. Whatever your experience is with your mother, I pray that we can all find some reason today to honor her on this Mother's Day. And in honor of this special day, we're going to look in Scripture at a mother and a grandmother named Eunice and Lois. While they can teach us some significant things about living out our faith as mothers, grandmothers, and women, I believe they have things to teach all of us, whether we are parents or not, whether we are single or married, whether we are a teenager or senior adult. We will also learn about the relationship of Paul and Timothy. Paul claimed Timothy as his son in faith. Perhaps there are those you honor today who have influenced you spiritually. who you would call spiritual parents, a spiritual father, a spiritual mother. Or you have others in your life who you love and provide spiritual nurture as your daughters and sons in the faith. We all have somebody that's watching us, and you're going to learn a little bit later just who that is. I've titled today's message, A Mother's Contagious Faith. This mother and grandmother that we're going to learn about today is found in the book of 2 Timothy, and they did just that. They had a contagious and intentional purpose and passion for Christ that they felt was so important for their son and grandson to understand. They invested time, influence, diligent nurturing in the scriptures, in God's guidebook. And in the faith, because they had discovered the importance of a relationship with Christ. In fact, their belief in the importance of a relationship with Christ seems to me to have gone beyond going to church, going through any emotions of what appeared to be Christian. It went beyond a place in their heart and life where they exhibited a sincere faith that Paul describes in 2 Timothy 1:5. It was sincere. They were passionate about their faith in Christ. It was real. Passion is synonymous with words like fervor and fire and zeal. These words denote powerful, intense emotion. Passion is a deep, overwhelming emotion. Have you all experienced some sort of a passion for something, someone? I'm pretty sure you have. Well, whatever we are most passionate about is what drives our life. We worship or are very passionate about whatever or whoever is most important to us. If making money is most important to you, then that's what you pursue. Whatever drives our life and our decisions becomes the motivation behind all we do, and we are constantly adjusting our life to give it first place. If job success is most important to us, then we worship that pursuit of success. The list is endless, but I think you get the picture. When we become a Christian and ask Jesus to be the Lord of and Savior of our life, when that is sincere, He becomes the number one priority in our life. We desire to strive towards the things of Christ. Now, would you agree with me when I say our families and our children are very important to us? Yeah. But even Christ is to be the Lord of our lives and then can be Lord of our homes. Jesus values families and marriages, and He wants to help and support us in the challenging journey of motherhood, parenthood, and life. When we are most passionate about knowing Jesus, we fulfill our purpose in life. Those closest to you probably know who or what your Lord is. They see what you are most passionate about and who or what drives your decisions. What passion are you passing on What passion are you passing on to your children and those around you? Listen as I read 2 Timothy 1:1 through 5. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve for my forefathers with pure conscience that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in thee also. In this scripture, we find a young man named Timothy who was influenced by two women's passion for Christ. His mother Eunice and his grandmother Lois were passionate about their faith in Christ and were deeply committed to sharing that with their beloved son and grandson. There is not a lot of information in Scripture regarding Lois and Eunice, but what we do know is an encouragement to all mothers who want to raise their children to love God. Lois and Eunice were a mother-daughter team that rose up a man of God, Timothy, who was Apostle Paul's most trusted companion and disciple. And it's only in Acts 16 and 2 Timothy that we find record of these women. First, let's take a look at Lois. Her name means agreeable or desirable, and she appears to live up to that name. The Apostle Paul praises her in his second letter to Timothy, and one who passed on the mantle of faith both to her daughter and to her grandson. She was a devout Jewess who had obviously instructed her daughter and grandson in Old Testament scriptures. The scripture is silent about Lois's husband, yet we know that she gave her daughter a Greek name, which may indicate he was Greek. The family lived in Lystra among a people who worshiped the gods of Greece, yet she faithfully raised her daughter to love God and helped raise a grandson who shared that love. As we can tell, Eunice, the daughter, was also a devout Jewess before coming to Christ. She had a Greek name, which means conquering well, and was a name expressive of a happy or good victory. Eunice, too, lived up to her name. She had victory living in an immoral society by raising a devout son, Timothy. We learn from Scripture in Acts 16 that Eunice had married a Greek man, a Gentile, and therefore, I believe, he did not believe in Jesus Christ. Nothing else is said about him, so many assume that he was dead by the time Eunice met the Apostle Paul. It is likely that during Paul's first visit to Lystra, that is when Lois, Eunice, and Timothy were converted to the Christian faith, believing in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. There is no doubt that their devout Jewish faith and knowledge of the Old Testament scriptures prepared their hearts for what Paul had to share with them about having eternal life through Jesus Christ. The compelling feature of the scriptural record of Eunice and Lois is their religious influence on Timothy. Since his father is not mentioned in connection with Timothy's faith, it is apparent that these two godly women trained him up so that he both knew and loved God's word. The name Timothy means one who fears God. It was from them also that the young Timothy derived his first impressions of Christian truth. Paul called this to remembrance in the scripture, my focus scripture for today, found in 2 Timothy 1:5. The record of Timothy demonstrated the value of positive Christian training at home. Hear that? At home. Lois and Eunice took the responsibility to pass on their faith very seriously, and as a result, they raised up a young man to become a servant of Christ. In 2 Timothy, Paul was encouraged Timothy to be unafraid to be the leader God desired him to be, to fulfill God's calling and gifting in his life. Paul reaffirms that fact that he had been given a great training in the Christian faith through his mother and grandmother. Our scripture today tells us that Eunice and Lois were intentional about passing on their passion for Christ. I want us to examine four things we can learn from them that I believe we can apply as mothers, parents, and as Christ followers as we live out our faith in the workplace, in our home, and in our schools. An authentic, sincere faith in Christ is contagious. Their faith was vibrant. Lois and Eunice were passionate about their faith in Christ and were deeply convinced that Timothy needed to know Christ and everything about him. They found the key to living and wanted to pass it on. Certainly, it is important to teach our children about Christ in our home and in all we do as a church, but so much of what we learn about the Christian faith from those who are parents or ministers comes not just through our words, but is communicated in the way we live. It is caught, it is not taught with just mere words, especially in the parent-child relationship. We verbalize and teach our children things, but they watch us to see if that is true in our life. Our word means nothing if our actions and our life do not reveal what we teach. I know we've said before that your children are watching you. They mimic and do everything that you do, just like a bigger sister. The little ones do everything they do. So there's always somebody watching us to see what we're doing, if we are walking the walk and not just talking the talk. When our words do match our actions, when we live out Christian principles, standards, and even scriptures that we speak of, our lives become powerful examples of what it means to follow Christ. Our children will often let us know we are being inconsistent with our words and actions. It may come out in behavior, or they just may simply tell us. In big ways and small ways, we can pass on our Christian faith, and we can also learn from our children, both young and old, when we listen to them, because they're listening to you. We don't get to read about the daily life of this family, but since they were human as we are, I'm sure they had times where they failed. I failed. Do you fail? I fail miserably sometimes. Those around us, our families, will see us fail too. But if we have a deep commitment to Christ, He will be faithful to help us when we reach out to Him. Just because we make mistakes or mess up doesn't mean that we still cannot have a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. We sang a song, it says, on and on and on. That's how God's love is for us. It goes on and on and on, even when we mess up. He's there to pick us up. At the central part of trusting Christ is the gift of God called grace. Grace is that undeserved favor that God gives everybody. He gives it to us every day. Grace is that forgiveness and mercy that He provides for us to live fully and joyfully in this life. Grace is what we need because we are human and we cannot do it by ourselves. A sincere faith is contagious, and God meets us where we are to help us grow in our relationship with Him. Even in our mistakes, a person with a sincere faith can still be contagious because they know who to go to and who they put their trust in during those times of challenges. Others will take notice. They're watching. Remember, everybody's watching. There's somebody watching you all the time. By developing an authentic, contagious faith, it involves us making a priority to nurture our relationship with God, to choose to make time to pray, to read our Bible, to study the Bible, and discover more about Him, to worship Him and give Him our attention beyond coming here Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. Do it at home. We will want to make knowing Him and living for Him our first priority. Secondly, we can be more effective as mothers, parents, and Christian people when we have the help of other Christians. Literally, in this case, Eunice had the help of her mother, Lois. She was very fortunate to have Lois's help. Grandparents can be a blessing. They can help their children, and they can help their grandchildren in supporting them and contributing to their spiritual growth. Grandparents, your children and grandchildren are watching you. Eunice had Lois's spiritual support as they sought to help Timothy know Christ and know the way, Christ's ways, to live for Jesus. You don't have to be a parent or grandparent to share your faith with those who cross your path or come behind you or sit beside you or you pass in a store. There is someone who needs your help and prayers today. And what is often not needed is unsolicited advice, much like what Pastor talked about in last week's message when he was talking about, you know, loving your children so much you don't want to see them get hurt. And when you tell them they're going down the wrong path, they're going to go anyway because they don't want your advice, but you're there to pick them up. it's almost like letting them live their own life, making their own choices. There is a time when you need to let them go. And so not that you want to them to make the same mistakes as you did, but they need to be able to make decisions. We talked this morning in our early morning class, there's different personalities, and I'm an S. I'm submissive. Well, Pastor Carl, he's a D. He's dominant. But you know, there was four different categories. While I didn't have anything in the first two categories, which is more dominant than the last two, which are more submissive, he doesn't have anything in the last two categories where I'm strengthened. See, so we make a perfect match. You see where I'm going with that? See how perfect? Well, we are perfect together, because where he has so many more gifts and talents that I wish I had, but I'm glad I don't, because he mentioned it last week. If we were both dominant, I'll just leave it at that. But anyway. I'm not a good decision maker, okay? I'm a procrastinator. I admitted it this morning. I'm working on it, okay? And I'll tell you something. That's a trait that I passed on to my daughter. She procrastinates too. And we're going to work together and not waiting until the last minute to get things done. We're going to make a decision, and we're going to stick with it. And if we fail, Pastor will clean it up, okay? We need to be an encourager to our children and grandchildren. You know, when we mess up, God doesn't give up on us. He doesn't throw us away. He doesn't say, bad, bad, bad. He lifts us up, shows us in His Word. Everything we do can be fixed by His Word. Everything, okay? And what a blessing we have here in this church body to have all of these Sunday school teachers and helpers and nursery workers. Some are parents and some are not. Some are married and some are not. Some are young and some are more mature, okay? And is it a blessing to you as a parent or grandparent to know that your child is well taken care of in these areas? I can vouch for the upper elementary school class. That's the second one up. That class has blossomed by having a teenager in there teaching. Not that, you know, and I value Tony, but they need that balance. They need a mature and a 16-year-old, or she's 17 now. She's 16. She's done a wonderful job. And not, I'm not saying that the other classes don't, but I have seen that classroom just take off with just having somebody younger in there. And it's a real blessing. It just makes my heart flutter. Okay, I'll move on. Some of us have our parents and our grandparents that live near us, and some don't. I'm very blessed to have my father has gone on to be with the Lord, but my mother lives close by, and I went to visit her yesterday, and I don't get to go visit her very often, but she was there by herself, and I got the one-on-one time with her, you know? My family likes to do things on Sunday afternoons, and I can't always be there. And so when I have an opportunity to be there, I want to be there by myself, so we're one-on-one. And I came back with our marriage license. I thought I had stored it behind a picture somewhere, but there she had it in her Bible. And it's like, how did it get there? But God knew I needed it. I don't know what I needed it for, but I have it. Just, we had a good time. Okay, your church family plays an important role in the rearing of your children and youth and young adults and every other age group that comes here. Every person who claims this church family as their own has a significant role in shaping everyone's faith. Everyone is needed. My next point, number three. Is it going? Okay. Children, young and old, can build on the legacy or foundation of a Christian faith that is passed on to them. I believe there is no limit to what God can do as generation after generation continues to build upon the wisdom of living as Christ followers. Paul encouraged Timothy to build on his Christian legacy he had been given. to take advantage rather than neglect the gift that God had given him, reminding him that God gives the boldness we need to live out our faith. There is no question in my mind that the most important thing for our children is that we do everything we can to help them grow to know Jesus as their Lord and as their Savior. There are a lot of other things that press us to keep us from doing that or might seem more important, but you just really got to make it a priority to make Jesus Christ first in your life. They will follow, I promise. And I do realize that many of us in here did not have the privilege of growing up in a Christ-centered home. Perhaps your childhood experience was not a very happy one, and it was not Christ-centered at all, and you didn't even know about Jesus. Perhaps your home is not like that now, but you know what? It can be. You can make the difference. You can make the choice today to make that difference in your home, and your children and your grandchildren will see that, and they will want to be, they will follow. Remember, someone is watching. God will help you as you depend on Him through prayer and as you make steps towards having a Christ-centered home. Your church family, just look around you. All of us in here are responsible to help you do this. You are not alone, ever, and it's never too late to center your life on Christ. Like Paul, we can encourage those around us to grow in our relationship to Christ, and we can hold up that standard of what it means to follow Christ in our daily life. We must nurture our relationship with Christ and not lower that standard because we are just too busy or because the world offers so much more other stuff to lead us in a different way. We are to be different. Paul encouraged Timothy to build on his faith. He encouraged him to listen, to take note, to pay attention to what Lois and Eunice were telling him and teaching him, not to be neglecting it, to rely on God who gives us that boldness, the passion, the desire to live out our faith. In Romans 12, 1 and 2, Scripture challenges us to be transformed by our relationship with God rather than being conformed to this world, to the culture that we live in. And it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If we are truly embracing God's way of living, then our life will reflect that. Others will take notice. Those watching you will notice. We are living for Jesus. We are living for Jesus to the point that we serve only Him. We should not be serving our worldly lusts and desires. If we focus on Him, He will replace all that with Him and His Word. I've been saying someone's watching you, and you're probably sitting there, well, who's watching me? Well, let me share with you who's watching you, or to who you are being an example. There's someone here. It could be who you're sitting beside. It could be somebody sitting behind you. It could be somebody that you hugged and greeted when you came in that wishes they had your job, that wishes they had your house, your car, your whatever, and they want to just be like you. But the most important thing that you need to be is Christ-like. That's what you want people to see in you, is Christ. Show Christ-likeness. Is that a word? Christ-likeness. And who is watching you? Children, teens, young adults, depending on your age. It doesn't really matter about your age, because if you're a mature person, am I mature? A seasoned saint. There we go. A seasoned saint. I'm a seasoned saint because I'm over 50, okay? People are watching me to see my reaction on how I react to stuff. Now, this morning, I was on my way down here, and Pastor called me, and I went to pick some people up, and I couldn't find my phone in my bag. And, okay, is there anybody else in here, a lady that carries a purse that hates pocketbooks? Because I can't ever find what I need what I need in. And I couldn't find my phone, and I could hear it buzzing. And I couldn't find a thing, and I called the devil a PB. No, I called him a PH. And if you want to know what that means, ask me after we get outside, because I will not say it on this in here. Because he was aggravating me because I couldn't find my little phone in my bag. And I know, and I knew somebody was calling, because nobody calls me on Sunday morning unless they need something. And it was pastor calling me to, I was supposed to go pick somebody else up, and then he called me back and saying that I had to go pick something that, to niche that one and go pick up these. And so that's what I did, and I was glad because it was just right down the road, and I'm thankful. I didn't have to, not that I didn't want to go pick up the person across town, but I would have, but anyway. But the devil, that's how the devil works in us. He uses those little things to distract us, and it's just easy how easy it is, because I was all pumped up. I was in the Word this morning and thought, well, the devil can't get me now, but oh, yes, he can. He's there. He's waiting. And he, but anyway, who's watching you? Newer Christians? Parents of your children's? The school teachers? The people you work with? The person sitting beside you? They're watching you. We all need to be Christ-centered, okay? So maybe you need help to break the cycle of generation after generation that has not embraced the Christian life and established that standard in your home. Perhaps you are or were blessed to have a Christian background but have let things slip and haven't taken advantage of that gift. Today, you can renew your commitment and your church and Christian friends, all of us in here, will help you. And my last point, number four, is we must be intentional and deliberate about passing on our passion for Christ. We need to be contagious. It is clear in the scripture that Eunice and Lois were committed to seeing that Timothy understood what it meant to have a relationship with Christ. 2 Timothy 3:14 and 15 indicates that from childhood, Eunice and Lois made known to Timothy the sacred writings, God's word, the scriptures. They impacted Timothy in the greatest possible way. They gave him the true knowledge he needed for facing life and obstacles and situations and just the yucky things the devil throws at him. Because why? He was equipped for every good work. And following these two verses in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, they tell us that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. Remember, I told you if you fall, go to the scripture and it'll tell you what you did wrong, and another scripture will tell you how to fix it. For instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And we are to seek God's kingdom first, not the world's kingdom. Seek his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these other things will be given to you as well. Seeking him first, all these other things will be given to you and provided for you. Therefore, we are not supposed to worry about today or tomorrow. Because why? What does tomorrow bring? Enough worries for itself. So just live for today. Be Christ-centered today. Make a decision, a choice, to change, to make your home Christ-centered. In some ways, I can hear Eunice and Lois declaring to young Timothy, who you are and who you become is more important than any worldly success or approval you might attain. Knowing Jesus through the Scripture is the greatest legacy we can give you and will bring you the greatest immeasurable success. Knowing the scripture and allowing it to become your guidebook for living is the greatest thing you can pass on. So are you being a godly example? Are you being a good example? Well, let me help you answer that question. A godly influence is one who moves others into God's agenda. How about that? So how do we move into God's agenda? You come out at 9:20 on Sunday mornings and you learn how to do that because you learn where your giftings are. That's where we're at in our 9:20 a.m. on Sunday mornings. It's powerful. This study at 9:20 a.m. on Sunday mornings, would you say? It's pretty cool, isn't it? Because God, if you don't know what your giftings are, this class will help you and show you how you can influence, be an influence, be a good example, okay? But before we can influence others toward godliness, we ourselves must be under God's influence, seeking God's direction, obeying his impulses, doing that crazy thing that he wants you to do but you haven't done yet. You got to do that crazy thing before you can move on, okay? I'm just telling you. Pastor said last year, maybe the year before, what was the last thing God told you to do? If it sounds crazy and you don't feel equipped to do it, it's got to be God, because he will equip you. There's a saying that He doesn't call the equipped, he equips the called. He'll give you the boldness, the strength, whatever it is that you need, as long as you obey him. If you are moving toward God, someone is probably following you. Someone is watching you. They're watching you take that narrow path. Now, there's a big wide road out there, but we want to be on the narrow path, okay? A godly influence encourages a closer walk with God. And you can be an encourager to help people make wise choices by seeking godly counsel, being faithful to him and to this church body. Encourage Godward thinking. Pastor Carl, I keep referring to him, but he comes up with some pretty cool, corny things. It's not a good idea, it's a God-dia. It's like good idea and God and putting God in it. It's an idea with God, and it was pretty cool the way he said it. Remind other of God's love. Weave godly topics into your conversation. Encourage study, Bible study, and prayer. A godly influence is a need filler. Does anybody in here besides me have needs? Everybody has needs? Okay. Well, so often, we are guilty of not noticing. Instead, we need to stop, look, and ask questions. This is where love kicks in that Pastor talked about last week. Do you love enough to act, or is it just simply empathy or sympathy? When you say you will do something, do it. If you say you're going to pray for somebody, pray right there so they know that you've done it and they can be encouraged. That's how we can be an encourager. Influence grows when we show compassion. We must model compassion, much like the parable of the Good Samaritan, how two of them passed by the guy that was beat up, and the Samaritan stopped, and they just didn't do that, and he paid for his bill. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to help those people that we might think don't deserve it, or maybe you feel like they have enough, but they're going through stuff. If they're down and out, they're going through something. Genuine compassion powerfully affects those who receive it, and those who give it, and those who observe it. Who's watching you? A godly influence is trustworthy. A godly influence does not is confidential. They keep things to themselves if they're told to do so. A godly influence will not gossip. And everybody I know has been gossiped about or talked about. I've done it. I think everybody has. I don't know if you can sit there and say that you've never talked about somebody, but I know I have. And God has corrected me on that. And I try not, always look for the positive in people. There's always something positive. There's always a good thing that you can pull out of people, okay? Be careful about sharing news. Be careful not to gossip. A godly influence and being a good example. How do we do that? In our conversation. Our words should build up and not tear down. Colossians 4:6 tells us, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. And how you answer every man is taking them to God's word. A godly influence is a real example in charity by showing compassion. Do you love enough to take action? A godly influence is a real example in spirit or your attitude. Attitudes are contagious too, good or bad. It's contagious. Our attitude should be, and I repeat this verse a lot, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthened me. It's very simple. A godly influence is a real example in faith. So how do we get faith? It comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If we put God's word in, that's what comes out. If we put world words in, that's what comes out. Whatever you're feeding is what comes out. Hebrews 11:6 tells us, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We're striving for our reward in heaven, our heavenly rewards. That's just bottom line. A godly influence is a real example in purity. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Think positive. Think purity. Think Jesus. So today, let's determine to be a positive friend, a positive mentor, a positive influence to everyone we come in contact with. No matter what place we find ourselves in life, God wants to help us to be the people he created us to be, and he wants to use you to make a positive difference in the lives of all those that are around you. Now, I'm not trying to put more guilt on you than you may already be feeling. That's not my goal here. Simply being a parent and being imperfect is enough. But I'm trying to show you how valuable you are. I want to remind you that what you do matters a lot. I want to encourage you to pursue your calling as a mentor, whether you're a mother, a father, a grandmother, a grandfather, a friend, a teacher, whatever you do in life, that you pursue that calling with a sense of joy and do it to the best of your ability. So, will you be contagious? Will you be the Lois or the Eunice in your home, workplace, here, with your church family? Will you be contagious by making God a priority, choosing to pray, to read and study the Word, to take out your Bible throughout the week except on Sundays and Wednesdays or Sunday nights? By allowing your gifts and talents to be used in the church body, your church family here, by having a Christ-centered home, by being a good example, by being a good influence on those that are around you. Will you accept this challenge today? It starts first by receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Now, by looking around, I'm thinking everybody in here has accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. But we sang a song a little earlier. The kids sing it and they use their hand. Man is a sinner, heaven is free, God is love, Christ died for you and me. And if you receive this by faith, you will live eternally. It's just that simple. By totally trusting in God as your Lord and Savior. So I'm going to ask Pastor to come up, please. And if you'll bow your heads and we can pray. So if you want to accept this challenge that's been presented today, if you have not ever given your heart to Christ, we would like to pray with you so you can do that. If you would meet us up here. If you feel like you haven't really lived fully for Christ, or maybe you've done something that you can't forgive yourself for, God's already forgiven you for everything you've done. If you will join us up here. And finally, if you will make that commitment to turn your home to be Christ-centered, I challenge you to make your way up here around these altars. We have something we want to place in your hands so that you can do just that. Father, we're so grateful for all that you do for us. We thank you so much, Lord, for your word. We thank you for loving us. We thank you, Lord, Father God, for all that you provided us with. We thank you for our church family. We thank you, dear Lord, that you are with us always. We thank you, Lord, that you have picked us up many, many times from the things that we've done, the mistakes that we've made, and you give us a do-over. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the strength that you provide for us. We thank you, for most of all, for the word that you provided for us, our basic instructions before leaving earth. That's what the Bible is basic instructions.